This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
The second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer on Tuesdays is brought to you through generous underwriting from PNC Foundation.
Good morning. This is Sharon, and this is the second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer. And the date is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I will cover the TV listings, obituaries, horoscopes, the etc. section, and we'll end with articles from Nation and World News. So we will begin with the television listings. WLWT NBC Channel 5 at 2 p.m. Sherry. At 3, Jennifer Hudson. At 4, WLWT News 5. And that local news goes until 7:30 when we have Access Hollywood. At 8 p.m., Lopez versus Lopez. At 9, Weakest Link. At 10, Password. At 11, WLWT News, and at 11:30, Tonight Show. On WCPO ABC Channel 9, at 2 p.m., General Hospital. At 3, The Kelly Clarkson Show. At 4 p.m., WCPO 9 News, and that local news goes until 7:30 when we have Extra. At 8 p.m., Will Trent. At 9, The Rookie. 10 p.m., The Good Doctor. 11 p.m., WCPO 9 News, and at 11:30, Jimmy Kimmel Live. WKRC CBS Channel 12. At 2 p.m., The Talk. 3 p.m., Dateline. 4 p.m., Local 12 News. At 6:30, CBS News. At 7, Inside Edition. At 7:30, Entertainment Tonight. At 8 p.m., FBI. At 9, FBI International. And at 10, FBI Most Wanted. At 11 p.m., the Local 12 News. And at 11:30, Late Show. WXIX Fox, Channel 19. At 2 p.m., Judge Judy. At 3, Fox 19 Now. And at 7, Wheel of Fortune. 7:30, Jeopardy. At 8, The Cleaning Lady. At 9, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. At 10 p.m., Fox 19 Now News. And at 11:30, Friends. CINCW Channel 12.2. At 2 p.m., Equal. At 3, Jerry Springer. At 4, Paternity. 5 p.m., Justice. At 6, Neighbor. At 7, Family. At 8, Crime Nation. At 10, The National Desk. And that takes us all the way to midnight. WCET PBS Channel 48. At 2 p.m., Antiques Roadshow. At 3, Cobra. 4 p.m., Finding Your Roots. 5 p.m., Prehistoric Road Trip. At 6, BBC News. 6:30, The Day. At 7, the PBS News Hour. At 8, Finding Your Roots. 9 p.m., The Expressway with Dule Hill. At 10, Frontline, and at 11, Amanpour and Company. MyNet, Channel 64. At 2, Karamo. 3 p.m., Maury. At 4, The Steve Wilkos Show. At 5, Person Or. At 5:30, Feud. At 7, Bang. 7:30, Young. At 8 p.m., Chicago Fire. At 10, Local 12, 10:30 Bang, at 11 Young, and at 11:30 Men. On NBC Channel 2, at 2 p.m. Pictionary, 2:30 Jeopardy, at 3 Dateline, 4 p.m. First at 4, at 5, 5 on 2, at 7 p.m. Inside Edition, 7:30 Jeopardy, 8 p.m. Lopez versus Lopez, at 9 Weakest Link, 10 p.m. Password, 11 The News, and at 11:30 Tonight. On CBS Channel 7, at 2 p.m. The Talk, 3 p.m. Let's Make a Deal, 4, 48 Hours, at 5 p.m. The News, at 6:30 CBS News, at 7 Wheel of Fortune, at 7:30 Entertainment Tonight, 8 p.m. FBI, 9 FBI International, at 10 FBI Most Wanted, 11 p.m. The News, and at 11:30 The Late Show. On PBS Channel 14, at 2 Knit, 2:30 Cooking, 3 p.m. Guilt, 4 p.m. Eleanor, 4:30 Wild Kratts, 5 p.m. Daniel, 5:30 Rosie's, 6 p.m. Work It Out, 6:30 Donkey. At 7, DW News. At 8, Changing Planet. At 9, A Brief History of the Future. 10, Nova. At 11, BBC World. And at 11:30, DW News. On PBS Channel 16, 2 p.m., George. 2:30, Ask. 3, Luna and Sophie. At 4, Finding Your Roots. 5 p.m., Prehistoric Road Trip. At 6, the PBS News Hour. 7 p.m., The Day. 7:30, Europe. 8, Finding Your Roots. At 9, The Expressway with Dule Hill. At 10 p.m., Escape to the Chateau. And at 11, The Art Show Articulate. On ABC Channel 22, 2 p.m., General Hospital. 3, Barrymore. 4, The Kelly Clarkson Show. At 5, Judge Judy. 6 p.m., The News. At 7, Family Feud. At 8, Will Trent. 9, The Rookie. 10, The Good Doctor. At 11 p.m., The News. And at 11:30, Kimmel. On Fox 22.2. 2 p.m., Judge Mathis. At 3, Maury. 4 p.m., The Steve Wilkos Show. At 5, Person Or. 5:30, Feud. 6:30, The News. At 7, Bang. At 8, The Cleaning Lady. At 9, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. 10, The News. At 11, iCrime with, and at 11:30, Family. CW Channel 26. 2 p.m., Karamo. 3 p.m., Jennifer Hudson. At 4, we have Mom. 5, Housewife. 6, Goldbergs. At 7, Young. At 8, Crime Nation. At 10, The News. And at 11, Friends. ION, Channel 43. From 2 p.m. until midnight, we have episodes of Chicago Fire. And finally, PBS Channel 54. At 2 p.m., Nature Cat. 2:30, Arthur. 3, Baking. 3:30, House. At 4 p.m., Various. At 5, Finding Your Roots. 6 p.m., BBC News. At 6:30, Kentucky. At 7, the PBS News Hour. At 8, Finding Your Roots. At 9, her name was Grace Kelly. And at 10, Frontline. 11, BBC News, and at 11:30, Kentucky. And those have been your television listings for Tuesday, April 30. And I have no obituaries to read for you today. They have not yet arrived at either the online edition or the print edition of the Cincinnati Inquirer. So no obituaries to read for you this morning. So we will move on to the horoscope for Tuesday, April 30. Aries, March 21 to April 19. Say hello to a motivational burst. Ready to act on your personal goals? Assert yourself with Mars in Aries. Taurus, April 20 to May 20. A surge of energy is on the scene. Feeling provoked within? Unresolved inner conflicts begin to surface. Gemini, May 21 to June 21. Be assertive in your social sphere. Group dynamics are charged up, ready to rally for your cause. Cancer, June 22 to July 22. Go out and make your mark. Feel your ambition rushing to the surface. You are driven to succeed. Leo, July 23 to August 22. Life is an adventure. Explore uncharted terrain. You are ready to move past what you've known. Virgo, August 23 to September 22. Have the courage to confront your fears. Cut through the psychological debris. Libra, September 23 to October 23. The heat is turning up in connections. Relational passion stirs up. This goes for conflict, too. Scorpio, October 24 to November 21st. You are ready to work. Capitalize on the heightened motivation. What's your first to do? Sagittarius, November 22 to December 21. Desire to express yourself? A passion project propels you to act while Mars is in Aries. Unleash your creative drive. Capricorn, December 22 to January 19. Your home life gets energized. Mars moving into Aries activates your domestic world. How will you direct this excess energy? Aquarius, January 20 to February 18. What's on your mind? You'll be sure to let them know. Assertive debates become your thing. Pisces, February 19 to March 20. Considering a financial risk, you are more impulsive with your money. Is it a smart buy? And now we will move on to the etc. section, starting with people. Lily Gladstone returns to Cannes Film Festival as jury member. Lily Gladstone, the first Native American woman to be nominated for an Oscar, will return to this year's Cannes Film Festival as a member of the nine-strong main jury, organizers said on Monday. Gladstone got her Academy Award nomination and won a Golden Globe Award for the Martin Scorsese drama Killers of the Flower Moon, which premiered at Cannes last May. Greta Gerwig, who packed theaters with the movie phenomenon Barbie, had already been announced as jury president. Gerwig and Gladstone will be joined by Lebanese director Nadine Labaki, who was nominated for a Golden Globe and Oscar for 2018's Capernaum, and Turkish screenwriter Ebru Ceylan, who co-wrote 2014 Palme d'Or winner Winter Sleep. French actors Omar Sy and Eva Green, who has alternated between Hollywood films such as Casino Royale and concept flicks like Proxima, are also members. Spanish filmmaker Juan Antonio Bayona, Italian actor Pier Francesco Favino, and Japanese director and 2018 Palme d'Or winner Hirokazu Koreeda round out the nine on the jury. The 77th Cannes Film Festival takes place from May 14 to 25. 22 films are currently in competition for the top prize, including entries by directors such as Francis Ford Coppola, David Cronenberg, and Yorgos Lanthimos. Our second People article, Weinstein hospitalized after conviction overturned. Embattled Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein was hospitalized after his 2020 rape conviction was overturned last week. Weinstein was in custody at Belleville Hospital in New York City on Saturday, Patrick Rocio, a spokesman for the New York City Department of Correction, told USA Today. Weinstein's attorney, Arthur Idala, confirmed to TMZ and the Associated Press on Saturday that his client was receiving care at Bellevue Hospital after examinations took place at city jails. Idala told the outlets that Weinstein's health is a train wreck. On Thursday, a New York appeals court overturned Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction after the court found that the judge for the 2020 trial handed down improper rulings. And here are celebrity birthdays. Actor Perry King turns 76. Singer Meryl Osmond, The Osmonds, 71. Director Jane Campion, 70. Director Lars von Trier, 68. Actor-director Paul Gross, 65. Actor Adrian Pasdar, 59. Guitarist Chris Henderson, Three Doors Down, 53. Singer Carolyn Dawn Johnson, 53. Actor Johnny Galecki, 49. Actor Sam Heughan, 44. Actor Kunal Nayar, 43. Rapper Lloyd Banks, 42. Actor Kirsten Dunst, 42. Actor Gal Gadot is 39. Actor Diana Agron, 39. Actor Ana de Armas, 36. And rapper Travis Scott, 33. And that's from USA Today Network. And now, here's what to watch, content by TV Weekly. Network broadcasting shows are listed in Eastern/Pacific time, unless noted otherwise. Shows air 1 hour earlier in Central/Mountain Time. Cable broadcasting shows are listed in Eastern Time. Will Trent on ABC at 8 p.m. Will, Ramon Rodriguez, accompanies Faith, Iantha Richardson, to a wedding where a body and gunman are found in the venue's basement. Crime Nation, The CW at 8 p.m., season finale. In the last episode of the season, four popular students are murdered in their off-campus home in Moscow, Idaho, launching a massive investigation to find the killer. The Cleaning Lady, on Fox at 8 p.m. Fiona, Martha Millen, grows tired of Thony's Elodie Young antics and seeks help. Lopez vs. Lopez on NBC beginning at 8 p.m., season finale. The sitcom's second season concludes with back-to-back half-hour episodes. First, in Lopez vs. Confessions, George Lopez, thinks Rosie's, Salinas Leyva, fiancé, Jamie Kamel, might be hiding an unholy secret, so he goes undercover to get him to confess and expose the truth. Meanwhile, with wedding bells in the air, Chance, Bryce Gonzalez, puts pressure on Mayan Lopez, and Quentin, Matt Shively, about the fact that they are not married. Then, in Lopez vs. George, secrets rain down on the Lopez clan when Mayan invites her therapist, Dr. Glenda Brenda, Tisha Campbell, to mediate some family drama at Rosie's engagement party. The Rookie on ABC at 9 p.m. When two teenagers go missing, it is up to the entire team to find them. Alert, Missing Persons Unit, on Fox at 9 p.m. In the new episode, Alexei, the MPU is on the case when a young hockey player goes missing during a fight with an opponent on the ice. The Good Doctor, on ABC at 10 p.m. Sean, Freddie Highmore, and Jordan's, Bria Henderson, patient, is in dire need of a kidney transplant. Password, on NBC at 10 p.m. Howie Mandel and Jimmy Fallon pair up with contestants and face off over two games. Players from each team guess secret passwords using only one-word clues for a chance to win up to $25,000. And now we will move on to Ask Carolyn, Carolyn Hacks. And this is entitled, Her Family Left All the Kitchen Work to Her, So She Went on Strike. It's adapted from an online discussion. Dear Carolyn, I've been simmering in rage and frustration at my family for 2 years and haven't come up with a better solution. So I've gone on kitchen strike. I live with my husband, our preteen child, and my mother-in-law, who popped in for a, quote, weekend during COVID and simply never left. My husband and I both work demanding jobs, but he returned to the office a while ago, and I'm still teleworking. No one ever attempts to deal with anything in the kitchen, not the cooking, cleaning, maintenance, nothing, except me. I have tried assigning dinner days to my husband. He simply ignores them or forgets. My mother-in-law is old-fashioned and doesn't believe her son should do any kitchen stuff anyway, but also has no interest in helping out herself. Can't remember how to turn on our oven, etc. These are otherwise thoughtful, loving relatives, my very favorite people. The message I'm receiving is just that under no circumstances will they take any of the kitchen work off my plate. So I've stopped doing any. I feel like a petulant child, and I don't know how to work my way back out of this strike now that it's begun. Help! Signed, On Strike. On Strike. Go, you! It's totally unacceptable that two adults in the household have dumped all this work on a third. It's totally acceptable for you to quit. Who feeds the child and teaches about shared work and respect and when and where to draw lines? What else is happening in the wide world of chores there? Are your mother-in-law and husband assuming any other chores? Absent these details, I'll throw out a comeback plan. It's dinner days, but with enforcement teeth. First, assign two nights per adult and one for the preteen. Second, dinners can be cooking, reheating, sandwiching, or, for the adults, ordering out. Third, taking responsibility for your night is required to partake in others, meaning I prepare my two dinners somehow, or else I don't get to join the family dinners on other nights. Four, if someone refuses, then they're out of the rotation, and each one in the rotation adds nights. 5. The key is that non-participants get nothing. They're on their own. No more covering for people who don't pitch in. If the husband and or squatter refuse, then you and the preteen have your own dinner system as opters out fend for themselves. Not a minor point. If someone had come for the weekend and then never left without asking first, then I'd have rage struck years ago. So, 1, you may be a saint, or 2, you may need some hard therapeutic work on saying no much sooner to these, quote, thoughtful people. And here's reader's thoughts. In the first reader, if you teach the preteen to make their own meals, then that guiltless creature will get fed and learn self-sufficiency. If the preteen can't cook or even make a peanut butter sandwich, they are unprepared for life. And the second reader's thought, many years ago, I went on strike. It didn't really help, so I changed my perspective. Eggs and toast became completely acceptable for dinners. Nothing complicated. Cereal. Just keep the basics stocked and let the chips fall where they may. You may email hacks at tellme@washpost.com. And here are articles from Nation and the World. Biden accelerates ceasefire push. President holds separate calls Monday with leaders from Qatar, Egypt. Out of Reuters. Cairo. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi received a phone call on Monday from U.S. President Joe Biden to discuss the latest developments in negotiations over a ceasefire in Gaza and the dangers of a military escalation in Rafah, Egypt's presidency said. The call also touched on the exchange of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners, a main sticking point in any comprehensive ceasefire deal between Hamas and Israel, the spokesman for the Egyptian presidency added. Biden urged Sisi and Qatar's emir, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, whom he spoke to separately, to exert all efforts to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas, as this is now the only obstacle to an immediate ceasefire and relief for the people of Gaza, the White House said. A Hamas delegation is in Cairo to deliberate on Israel's response to a ceasefire deal. The danger of a military escalation in Rafah was also stressed in how it would add catastrophe to an already worsening humanitarian crisis that would impact stability and security in the region, the Egyptian presidency statement said. President al-Sisi stressed the necessity of full and adequate access to humanitarian aid, reviewing the intensive Egyptian efforts in this regard, it added. The two presidents also stressed the necessity of working to prevent expansion of the conflict and reaffirmed the importance of this two-state solution as the means to achieve security, peace, and stability in the region. Biden and the Qatari emir discussed developments in the situation in Gaza and efforts of the two countries to reach an immediate and permanent ceasefire agreement in Gaza, Qatar's Emiri Dewan said. Colombia begins suspending protesters after talks break down. New York. Columbia University on Monday began suspending pro-Palestinian activists who refused to dismantle a tent encampment on its New York City campus after the Ivy League school declared a stalemate in talks seeking to end the polarizing protest. University President Namet Minouche Shafik said in a statement that days of negotiations between student organizers and academic leaders had failed to persuade demonstrators to remove the dozens of tents set up to express opposition to Israel's war in Gaza. The crackdown at Columbia, at the center of Gaza-related protests roiling university campuses across the U.S. in recent weeks, came as police at the University of Texas at Austin arrested dozens of students whom they doused with pepper spray at a pro-Palestinian rally. Columbia sent a letter on Monday morning warning that students who did not vacate the encampment by 2 p.m. Eastern Time and sign a form promising to abide by university policies would face suspension and become ineligible to complete the semester in good standing. We have begun suspending students as part of this next phase of our efforts to ensure safety on our campus, said Ben Chang, a university spokesperson, at a briefing on Monday evening. The encampment has created an unwelcoming environment for many of our Jewish students and faculty, and a noisy distraction that interferes with the teaching, learning, and preparing for final exams, Chang said. Earlier, Shafiq said Columbia would not divest from finances in Israel, a key demand of the protesters. Instead, she offered to invest in health and education in Gaza and make Columbia's direct investment holdings more transparent. Protesters have vowed to keep their encampment on the Manhattan campus until Columbia meets three demands: divestment, transparency in university finances, and amnesty for students and faculty disciplined for their part in the protests. These repulsive scare tactics mean nothing compared to the deaths of over 34,000 Palestinians. We will not move until Columbia meets our demands or we are moved by force, leaders of the Columbia Student Apartheid Divest Coalition said in a statement read at a news conference following the deadline. Shafiq faced an outcry from many students, faculty, and outside observers for summoning New York City police 2 weeks ago to dismantle the encampment. After more than 100 arrests were made, students restored the encampment on a hedge-lined lawn of the university grounds within days of the April 18 police action. Since then, students at dozens of campuses from California to New England have set up similar encampments to demonstrate their anger over the Israeli operation in Gaza and the perceived complicity of their schools in it. At the University of Texas at Austin on Monday, campus police backed by Texas state troopers attempted to break up a large student protest using pepper spray and flashbang charges, arresting at least 43 people, according to the defense attorney George Laub, who said he confirmed the number with court and jail staff processing the detentions. Israeli airstrikes kill at least 40 Palestinians, by Julia Hart and Jonathan Allen. Cairo. Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of Palestinians on Monday as Hamas leaders visited Cairo for a new round of truce talks, with more than half the dead in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, which foreign leaders have urged Israel not to invade. Hours after the strikes on Rafah, where almost half of Gaza's 2.3 million population have sought refuge from the months of Israeli bombardment, Egypt's state-affiliated television said the Hamas delegation left Cairo for Doha and would return at an unspecified later date with a written response to the ceasefire proposal. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken urged Hamas to swiftly accept what he called an extraordinarily generous Israeli proposal for a truce in the Gaza war and the release of Israeli hostages held by the Palestinian militant group. Bombs hit three houses in Rafah on Monday, and in Gaza City, in the north of the strip, Israeli warplanes struck two houses, killing at least six people and wounding several others, health officials said. With nightfall, an Israeli airstrike on a house in the Al-Nuzairat refugee camp in central Gaza killed 3 Palestinians, including a journalist, medics, and Hamas, media said. 6 other people were killed in other central Gaza areas in separate Israeli airstrikes, they added. Israel's military on Monday said 2 soldiers were killed in central Gaza on Sunday. The armed wing of the Hamas-allied Islamic Jihad said it fired rockets into Israel on Monday, signaling the group was still able to launch rocket attacks after nearly 7 months of the Israeli air and ground offensive. Asked about the Rafah strikes, an Israeli military spokesperson said fighter jets had struck terror targets where terrorists were operating within a civilian area in southern Gaza. Speaking on Monday at a World Economic Forum meeting in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Egyptian Foreign Minister Sama Sukri said Egypt was hopeful about a proposal for a truce and the release of hostages, but awaiting responses from Israel and Hamas. "We are hopeful. The proposal has taken into account the positions of both sides, has tried to extract moderation from both sides, and we are waiting to have a final decision," Sukri said. And now we will hear some daily chatter, news from around the world. These are briefs. Kazakhstan. The title is Reality TV. Kazakhs have been riveted by a high-profile trial over the killing of a 31-year-old woman, a case that has shocked the country and prompted calls to address the ongoing problem of domestic violence in the resource-rich Central Asian nation, Radio Free Europe reported. Businessman and former Minister of Economy, Kwandik Bishimbayev, has been accused of murdering his wife, Saltanat Nukanova. The victim's body was found in November in a restaurant owned by a relative of Bishimbayev. Prosecutors have charged Bishimbayev, 44, with torture and murder. They have also accused his cousin, Bahikshan Bazanov, of failing to report a crime in process. Security camera footage displayed during the trial showed Bishimbayev dragging Saltanat by her hair and striking her multiple times. She later died of brain trauma. Bishimbayev has maintained his innocence, but admitted to the court last week that he had beaten her and unintentionally caused her death. Since it began in late March, the trial has been televised and streamed online, a first in the country, creating a lot of buzz, the Associated Press reported. It also triggered outrage over the issue of domestic violence in Kazakhstan, where 1 in 6 women claim to have faced some form of physical violence at the hands of their partner. The country's Interior Ministry officially registered more than 100,000 cases of domestic violence per year, but analysts suggest the actual number is much higher. Shortly after her death, Saltanat's relative launched an online petition to push for a tougher law on domestic violence that quickly gained more than 150,000 signatures. Earlier this month, the country's upper house of parliament passed Saltanat's law, which was later signed by President Kasym Jomart Tokayev. Out of Kosovo. Silent treatment. Responding to a request from Serbia for a boycott, only around 1% of the ethnic Serb voters in the towns of Leposavec, Zubin Potok, Zvenkan, and North Mitrovica in Kosovo turned out last week to cast ballots in a referendum to decide whether to remove their ethnic Albanian mayors from office. The number illustrates how alienated ethnic Serbs, a majority in the 4 towns, have become in the tiny Balkan country where most citizens are ethnic Albanians. As Euroact reported, only 3.4% of voters in the towns turned out in the 4 towns to cast ballots at all. Afterward, the local ethnic Serb residents held protests to prevent the newly elected mayors from taking their positions. Violence broke out. European Union officials slapped sanctions on the country in 2023 in an effort to compel Kosovo's leaders to de-escalate tensions with the Serb minority. The turnout makes clear that most Serbs don't want to participate in any Kosovo-run vote. The tensions trace back to the War of Yugoslav Succession in the 1990s when the former Communist Republic crumbled into a collection of new nations. Serbia's oppression of the majority Albanian community in the Serbian province of Kosovo led to a war that resulted in Kosovo declaring independence in 2008. Since then, officials in the Serbian capital of Belgrade and the small communities of Serbs who remain in northern Kosovo have refused to recognize the new country. The EU has been trying to reconcile the two sides. In addition to pressuring Kosovo's leaders to make efforts to win the trust of their Serbian constituents, explained Euronews, EU leaders have also pledged to block Serbia from joining the bloc and gaining access to its funding for infrastructure and cultural and economic development unless they can improve their relations with the breakaway state. Serbia currently does not recognize Kosovo. At the same time, the EU has also demonstrated how ordinary Kosovars can benefit from the Union. Kosovo nationals can now travel throughout Europe's borderless Schengen for 90 days without a visa, a shift that is huge for many people who want to study, work, or travel in the West, Le Monde reported. Kosovo Serbs have called for removing the Albanian mayors and, like the EU and US, want a new vote. And here's discoveries. What lies within? Scientists recently identified a rare fourth instance of endosymbiosis, a phenomenon where one species lives inside another for mutual benefit, with profound implications for understanding evolution, New Scientist reported. Endosymbiosis is not uncommon in nature. Notable examples include nitrogen-fixing bacteria found within the roots of legumes, which facilitate their growth, and specialized bacteria that produce essential nutrients residing within cockroach cells. The organisms remain distinct in the majority of cases, but previous studies have documented only three instances where endosymbionts merged with their hosts to become integral components of their cellular machinery. These instances include the formation of mitochondria, responsible for energy production, and chloroplasts, pivotal in photosynthesis within plant cells. For decades, researchers suspected that the cyanobacterium UCIN-A, living within the alga, single-celled alga, Barudosphera bigelova, had become the latter's organelle. In their new study, a research team confirmed those suspicions using soft X-ray tomography to watch how the algal cells divide. They notice that the bacterium divides in concert with its host cells, with each algal cell inheriting one UCIN-A. Moreover, about 50% of the 2,000 proteins within UCIN-A originated from the algal host instead of the bacterium. The team explained that the bacterium had become a nitroplast, an organelle that helps the B. bigelova fix its nitrogen levels. Other researchers say the study could transform agriculture by potentially enabling crop plants to fix their own nitrogen, reducing reliance on nitrogen fertilizers. Our next article, Haiti's new leaders taking power. Troubled nations' gangs demand seat at the table. This is written by Harold Isaac and Kylie Madry, out of Reuters. Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Haiti's new transition council is set to choose the country's next president on Tuesday, but leaders of the gangs who have exerted increasing control are clamoring for political influence and amnesties and threatening violence if their demands are not met. Last week, after former Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigned, the council was formally installed, seen as a key step in reestablishing security after years of gang violence that has recently skyrocketed. The council is formed of 7 voting members and 2 non-voting observers, including politicians, a businessman, and a pastor. The Regional Caribbean Community, CARICOM, body that led the drafting of the council's makeup forbade gang members or those who were subject to international sanctions from joining. But some of Haiti's most powerful gang leaders are threatening more violence if they are not allowed political sway. In an interview with CNN published on Monday, Vital Homme Innocent, who heads the Crazy Bar gang and is accused of orchestrating the 2021 kidnapping of U.S. missionaries, called for the council to listen to the gangs and find a resolution to the crisis as soon as possible. Crazy Barn forms part of a loose coalition of gangs known as Vive Ensemble, or Live Together, who now control most of the capital, Port-au-Prince. The coalition is demanding the future government grant them an amnesty for their crimes and create a plan for young gang members who may have been forced into joining, either under threat of violence or due to a lack of economic alternatives, Innocent told CNN. Vive Ensemble's leader, a former police officer named Jimmy Cherizier, who is known as Barbecue, warned of consequences if the gangs were ignored in a message shared on social media over the weekend. Vive Ensemble is ready to talk. It's either we are all at the table or the table gets destroyed with all of us, he said. According to UN estimates, more than one person was killed in Haitian gang violence every hour in the first 3 months of this year. There are also widespread reports of gangs using mass sexual violence, ransom kidnappings, and torture to extort the population. The gangs have expressed frustration with Haiti's ruling elite and had called for the resignation of Henri, who had been prime minister since 2021. Henri became stranded outside the country after leaving to seek international support for a UN-backed security mission aimed at wresting back control from the gangs. He said in March he would step down once the council was in place. Our next article, in China, Musk wins on path to self-driving cars. Key questions about transferring data remain. Written by Daniel Lusink and Liam Mo out of Reuters. Beijing. Elon Musk made progress toward rolling out Tesla's advanced driver assistance package in China on a whirlwind weekend trip to Beijing, sending the company's shares soaring more than 15% on Monday. The leap in Tesla's stock added $90 billion to the company's market value, a major vote of confidence from Wall Street for the electric vehicle maker as it struggles with soft demand and increased competition. Key questions remain, however, on whether Tesla can secure government approvals to transfer data overseas that could prove pivotal in its development of autonomous vehicles. Musk arrived in the Chinese capital on an unannounced visit Sunday, intending to discuss the rollout of its full self-driving software and the data transfer permissions, according to a person with knowledge of the matter. Among the winds during Musk's trip, which was first reported by Reuters, was a key endorsement from a top Chinese auto association that said Tesla's Model 3 and Y cars were compliant with data security regulations. That would enable local governments to allow Tesla cars into parts of China they were previously barred from, Chinese media reported, citing a statement from Tesla. Tesla has also reached an agreement with Baidu to use the Chinese giant's mapping license for data collection on China's public roads, according to two people who described that as a step toward FSD rollout in China. Musk's meetings included one with Chinese Premier Li Qiang, who praised Tesla's development in China. Tesla did not comment for this report. Musk said this month on his social media site X that Tesla may make FSD available to customers in China very soon. Okay for data transfer needed. The question of whether Tesla can win Beijing's approvals for overseas data transfer remains critical to its plans for FSD in China and for autonomous vehicles globally. Reuters could not determine what progress, if any, Musk made in securing such approvals during his Beijing trip. Getting approvals in China to sell a so-called Level 2 driver assistance system, such as FSD, isn't the hard part. But Tesla had considered the ability to transfer data out of China pivotal to its development of autonomous vehicles. Tesla and other automakers use the data provided by their cars to train autonomous driving systems to perform increasingly complicated tasks without supervision from a human driver. Without Beijing's approval for data transfer, Tesla could not use data collected by its cars in China to develop autonomous cars for a global consumer base. Despite its name, Tesla's full self-driving vehicle is not fully autonomous and requires drivers to stay ready to take over. Musk's China trip marked the next step in a major pivot to Tesla's strategy that has accelerated over a chaotic last few weeks for Tesla. The automaker rushed to prioritize its efforts to develop self-driving cars while putting its ambitions to become a mass market seller of affordable electric vehicles on the back burner. Reuters reported on April 5 that the automaker had scrapped plans for a next general affordable car, widely called the Model 2, while continuing plans for robo-taxis on the same new small car platform. Just a week before the Beijing trip, Musk abandoned a planned trip to India and a meeting with Prime Minister Narendra Modi, where he had been expected to discuss an investment including a new factory to build affordable Teslas. The Indian government did not have an immediate comment on Musk's China visit. Prior to Monday's share price jump, Tesla shares had lost about a third of their value this year as concerns have grown about its growth trajectory. Last week, Tesla reported its first decline in quarterly revenue since 2020. Self-driving competition. Equity analysts at Wedbush called the surprise visit a major moment for Tesla if Musk is able to obtain approval to transfer the China data overseas. Chinese regulators have required Tesla to store all data collected by its Chinese fleet in Shanghai since 2021, leaving the company unable to transfer any back to the United States. China's complicated traffic conditions, with more pedestrians and cyclists than in many other markets, provide more scenarios that are key for training autonomous driving algorithms at a faster pace, according to industry experts. Tesla cars have been banned from entering Chinese military complexes over security concerns related to cameras installed on its vehicles. Its cars have also been turned away from sites holding important political events, such as an annual summer leadership conclave the ruling Communist Party held in 2022. The endorsement from the Chinese Auto Group, which said Tesla complies with China's data regulations, could allow Tesla cars to access such sites. Rival Chinese automakers and suppliers such as XPeng and Huawei Technologies have been seeking to gain an advantage over Tesla by rolling out self-driving software of their own. He Jingpeng, the CEO of XPeng, whose XNGP advanced driver assistance system is similar to FSD, said on his Weibo account he welcomed the entry of the Tesla technology into China. Our next article, Johnson & Johnson, Bristol-Myers Lose Drug Price Challenges, written by Brendan Pearson of Reuters. A federal judge on Monday rejected a challenge by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Johnson & Johnson to a law requiring them to negotiate the prices of their blockbuster blood clot prevention drugs with the U.S. government's Medicare Health Insurance Program or pay heavy penalties. U.S. District Judge Saheed Quirashi in Trenton, New Jersey, became the fourth federal judge to uphold the program, one of Democratic President Joe Biden's signature initiatives against drug industry challenges, rejecting their argument that it was an illegal taking of their property. In short, defendants are not taking drugs from plaintiffs, Quirashi wrote, adding that they were free to stop participating in Medicare if they did not want to negotiate. The drug makers did not immediately respond to requests for comment, though Bristol-Myers has already filed a notice in court that it was appealing the ruling. Drug makers have argued that it is not feasible to withdraw from Medicare because it represents nearly half the U.S. prescription drug market. Blood thinners Eliquis from Bristol-Myers and Johnson & Johnson Xarelto were among the 10 drugs chosen last August for the first round of negotiations under the program, which was part of the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Biden and other supporters said the negotiated prices to go into effect in 2026 will bring down prescription drug costs. Eliquis brought Bristol-Myers about $8.52 billion in U.S. sales last year, while J&J recorded $2.36 billion in Xarelto sales. Eliquis is shared with Pfizer and Xarelto with Bayer, which were not part of the lawsuits. And that's all we have time for today. This has been the second hour of the Cincinnati Inquirer for Tuesday, April 30, 2024. My name is Sharon. I am happy to read for you on Tuesday mornings. Next Tuesday, I will not be available, but I will return in 2 weeks. I hope you have a great week.